To talk through this politically heated issue and how the changes affect you, I'm joined by Emma Dawson, the Executive Director of the think tank Per Capita, and John Moroney, the CEO of the Self-Managed Superfund Association, whose members are likely to be hit hard by these changes. Both Per Capita and the SMSF Association put in submissions to the parliamentary inquiry into Labor's changes. Thanks to you both for joining the world today.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Emma Dawson, to start with you, your submission is in support of Labor's plan. Why do you say it is a good idea?
Look, we think it's essentially a good fairness measure. It's a measure that will raise considerable revenue, and it targets a tax concession in a way that is unsustainable and we believe is unfair. It currently costs the government around $5 billion a year to return these franking credits to people that don't pay taxation, and that's $5 billion that could be used to fund schools and fund hospitals.
John Moroney, Labor is not denying that this change will cut income from many of the people you represent, but says it's unfair that the government does pay this $5 billion in cash each year to people who don't pay tax. Do you accept that this is a loophole that has only become more attractive to investors over the years?
We don't accept that it's a loophole. In fact, it was a carefully designed part of the tax system when it was brought in with bipartisan support. Over a million people have used this design part of the tax system to essentially get access to what our company paid tax credits. And we believe it's a very unfair and discriminatory policy.
John Moroney, according to Labor's policy documents, some self-managed super funds claimed cash refunds of $2.5 million under current arrangements. Do you think cash refunds on that scale are fair?
My understanding is that that may be a single case that's been picked out to generate some publicity, and good policy should never be based on a single extreme legacy example. That will have changed from the introduction of the caps on superannuation pension assets that were brought in the 2016 budget. So it's a historical legacy issue that really shouldn't influence debate on this.
Emma Dawson, retirees who have planned their retirement so they can live off this cash credit have structured their affairs completely legally. To change this retrospectively is unfair, isn't it?
No, look, I don't think it is. I think you can't expect that there will never be any kind of change to the tax system. Tax arrangements, pension arrangements change all the time. It's only a couple of years since the current government changed the assets deeming test so that quite a lot of people lost their part pension. And, of course, those people were upset at the time as well. The key principle here is that the reason people are on a marginal tax rate of zero is because their income from superannuation is not taxed. So they can have, for example, an average of $1.2 million in a self-managed super fund. They're receiving $60,000, roughly, if you assume a conservative rate of return of 5% per annum, in untaxed income. So the reason their marginal tax rate is so low is not because they're poor and they're living on $20,000 a year or $22,000 a year like someone that relies on the age pension, but because they're not paying tax on that $60,000. Certainly a lot of investors have geared their investment portfolios towards investing in companies that pay a high dividend out and therefore they can claim the franking rebates. And there's a strong argument to be made that that's actually distorted our investment market. It means, for example, that Australian investors don't invest in startups, in innovative companies. We lose a lot of the benefit that you see in countries like Germany, where actually their system is geared towards public investment in companies that can grow. Whereas here, people tend to invest in the banks, they invest in Telstra, in those big legacy companies that pay out high dividends, and that distorts our market as well.
John Moroney, would it really be so difficult for investors to reorganise their financial affairs? Labor has given people a lot of notice about this.
It would be very difficult. A lot of these retirees are in their 70s and 80s, and they've actually put these portfolios together over 18 or 28 years. And I think 18 years is quite a long time to have a system there where people should be able to rely on them. I think Labor recognises this in other policies. For example, they're bringing in grandfathering on their negative gearing policies, grandfathering on their capital gains tax changes. So why not have grandfathering for those that are already invested long-term in Australian companies that are employing Australians, that are providing lots of the services? And to say Labor's given people a lot of time, Labor has announced a policy. They've changed it once. We expect they will change it further before or after the election. So people can't start making changes. And if they do, they'll be selling out of good Australian companies, potentially investing in overseas companies or startups. And there's nothing wrong with that. But to force people in their 70s and 80s to turn their retirement plans and strategies on their head is very unfair.
I can see you wanting to come in here, Emma.
Yeah, look, I think the point about having to change your arrangements is that's only necessary if you intend to live off the income from your capital investments and never draw down on the capital. The intention of superannuation is to fund people's lifestyles in retirement. It was never intended to be a wealth creation mechanism by which people could amass large fortunes to hand down to their kids. Most Australians, the vast majority of Australians, and we've got to remember this policy is going to affect about 4% of Australians. The other 96% of us are paying for it through our taxes. And the vast majority of us will live on a combination of some investment income, but drawing down on the capital and spending that money. The Australian taxpayer, working men and women, particularly young people who have HECS debts and can't get into the housing market and are paying tax on their income as they work, should not be subsidising the estate planning of wealthy retirees. It creates generational inequality. It massively exacerbates inequality in this country. We don't want to be a country where you can only get ahead if your parents leave you a lot of money.
Now, John Moroney, before I let you respond on that, I just want to put something to you that the Tax Commissioner told your association's national conference in 2016, and that is that 6 self-managed super funds had balances of more than 100 million and 2,184 had balances of more than 10 million. This would allow the owners not just to comfortably retire, but to hand on a big parcel of shares to their kids, wouldn't it? Do you believe that is the role of superannuation?
No, the role of superannuation is to substitute or supplement the age pension. Those members in self-managed super funds that, yes, on average have a little bit over $1 million, the median level is quite a bit lower. That's just a little bit more than the value of the age pension. So most of these people, and there's over 1 million people that are in self-managed super funds and over 1 million people that would be affected initially by Labor's proposal, most of those are ordinary working Australians. Most of them are not super wealthy. Most of them are not going to leave large inheritance to their children. They might leave a small amount because people don't know when they're going to die. It's not as though most people are planning to have inheritance. Most people are worried about what their health costs will be. And the more they are providing private health insurance and paying things privately, that is reducing the cost for the taxpayer and avoiding the $800,000 cost for a couple of an age pension.
It's a very complex issue. Thanks to you both very much for joining us. Emma Dawson from Per Capita and John Moroney from the Self-Managed Super Funds Association.
Thanks very much, John.